At Conservative Nation Radio Shows, we've got something to say. What we want to hear is what you would say. Say it on Conservative Nation Radio. We do conservatism right.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong. That's what this country was founded on. Well, we might as well give up and run. If we let them take our God and guns. Yeah, I'm here in my neck of the woods where God's great and guns are good. You really can't know that much about them if you think we're better off without them. Oh, there was a time we ain't forgot. You could rest all night with your door. Say your prayers and you thank the Lord for that peacemaker in the dresser drawer.
And Uncle Bing.
And good Sunday afternoon to you all, princes and princesses of patriotism. It's December the 9th, 2012. We're ending this year in a bang. And going into 2013, headstrong, ready to light conservatism on fire. You know, it's been a week since we last spoke, and since we last spoke, something happened that I'd like to talk about today. Once again, my fingers have been stroking the keyboard, erupting in joyous wordgasms as I contemplate the mental masturbation of Bob Costas and Jason Whitlock, stroking my brain with furious fervor, trying to convince me that guns are bad. Every time I watch a liberal scratch their head to excite their brains and speak about things they have absolutely no clue on, I simply have to laugh. Last Sunday night was something of a shocker for Dallas Cowboy fans in more ways than one. In typical Cowboy fashion, the first half was a sleeper, while in the second half, the boys woke up to defeat the Philadelphia Eagles 38-33. It was also a game in which Tony Romo, who's no Troy Aikman, broke Aikman's career franchise record. The game itself lacked the usual problems and issues Cowboy fans are so familiar with. No underwhelming performances, no frustrating ineptitude, not even the familiar pain of bad clock management. However, the biggest shocker came not during the game, but rather during the halftime show when Bob Costas, one of the best in the sports broadcasting business, delivered a left hook to at least half of the NFL fans that tuned in, Texans and Americans in general. That is, those Americans who believe in the Constitution and the rights enumerated within the Bill of Rights. In a half-cocked idea and knee-jerk reaction to the tragedy of Kansas City Chiefs linebacker Jovan Belcher, who murdered his girlfriend and then killed himself, Costas could not restrain his big mouth and rolled off into a diatribe of hyperbole and an inappropriate fire and brimstone sermon on the evils of guns. Costas found his words of wisdom in the column of Kansas City-based columnist Jason Whitlock of FoxSports.com, who delivered Sunday's uppercut to all Americans who believe in the right to bear arms. Whitlock's column was the usual liberal regurgitation of guns are bad, outlaw guns, and the guns are responsible for murder. Blah, blah, blah. Excuse me, I just tossed my lunch. Memo to Bob Costas and Jason Whitlock. Belcher's girlfriend is dead because Jovan Belcher is a woman beater. And his subsequent suicide, while horrible and grotesque to both families, is perhaps a relief to the next lady he would have beat mercilessly in society at large. But for the liberal ilk, it's easier to blame the gun rather than the harder task of recognizing evil and holding people accountable for gun violence instead of the gun. Hell, holding people accountable for anything if the truth were spoken. Mind you, if we placed a gun in the middle of the table and never touched it, it would not do a damn thing. For liberals and the anti-gun crowd, it's much easier to make the gun accountable for murders committed with the use of a gun. The facts are, in 2010, the last full year of statistics by the FBI Uniform Crime Reporting Program, the expanded homicide data shows that there were 12,996 murders in the U.S., and of those, 8,775 were caused by firearms. I have to wonder, when will the liberals decide that it's the spoon's fault for obesity in America, rather than lazy people who, by and large, can't push their fat ass away from the table, or call for a class action lawsuit on Oneida for the estimated 112,000 to 365,000 deaths caused by obesity-related problems each and every year, a far cry from the number of deaths caused by guns during the commission of criminal acts. And let me stipulate, that includes my fat, lazy ass. The only difference is, I know it's my fault, not the spoon's. For Costas, who apparently viewed it as something akin to a Picasso, all one really needs to know is the quote that caused Costas' bromance with Whitlock. Let me play that for you now.
In the aftermath of the nearly unfathomable events in Kansas City, that most mindless of sports cliches was heard yet again. Something like this really puts it all in perspective. Well, if so, that sort of perspective has a very short shelf life, since we will inevitably hear about the perspective we have supposedly again regained the next time ugly reality intrudes upon our games. Please, those who need tragedies to continually recalibrate their sense of proportion about sports would seem to have little hope of ever truly achieving perspective. You want some actual perspective on this? Well, a bit of it comes from the Kansas City-based writer Jason Whitlock, with whom I do not always agree, but who today said it so well that we may as well just quote or paraphrase from the end of his article. Our current gun culture, Whitlock wrote, ensures that more and more domestic disputes will end in the ultimate tragedy, and that more convenience store confrontations over loud music coming from a car will leave more teenage boys bloodied and dead. Handguns do not enhance our safety. They exacerbate our flaws, tempt us to escalate arguments, and bait us into embracing confrontation rather than avoiding it. In the coming days, Javon Belcher's actions and their possible connection to football will be analyzed. Who knows? But here, wrote Jason Whitlock, is what I believe. If Javon Belcher didn't possess a gun, he and Cassandra Perkins would both be alive today.
Really? Not a word about domestic violence? Where's the nail, gang? Not one mention of a bankrupt culture that has abandoned violent-prone youth to loiter at convenience stores. Not a single mention of the fatherless environment that has left so many young men, especially in the African-American community, with no coping skills to navigate daily tensions. Not even the slightest mention of the violent lyrics of rap music that sparks such outbursts. And old Bobby, he agreed with this. And I want to point that out because that's what he opened his diatribe with. He's made the rounds this last week on talk radio, even on Billy O'Reilly's show, to distance himself from Whitlock and what he himself said and ended with in total agreement of. A word of wisdom, Bob. Words have meaning, Bobby boy. If you, an educated man, didn't mean what you said last Sunday night, then perhaps you should have kept your damn mouth shut. However, quite frankly, I'm of the opinion that you opined about something you truly believe in your heart and simply didn't think you'd be called out for. Then when you were caught with your pants down, you decided to spin your diatribe a completely different way. Again, typical of the left that speaks from the heart, only to realize that they let the cat out of the bag and have to back it up or back away because mainstream America can't know the truth of what the left really wants, for if they did, the left would lose their power. Now, let me be absolutely clear here. I would not seek, call for, nor condone the muzzling of sports writers and broadcasters who venture outside of their worlds of expertise. However, many people have been fired for lesser offenses than Costas and Whitlock's misplaced and misguided venom. I would say of Bob Costas that unless you want to further alienate at least half of your fan base with political diatribe, then maybe you should stick to what you do best, broadcast sports and lament on sports-related stories. Both Whitlock and Costas have no interest in assigning the blame to people who make bad choices in life, for it's always someone else's or something else's fault, as well as that old tired argument the founding fathers wrote the Constitution based on, fill in the blank. In fact, let's examine how that conversation goes. Liberal. Fact. The Second Amendment was devised with muskets in mind, not high-powered handguns and assault rifles. Conservative. It was devised by the founding fathers so that society might protect themselves against a government that might become tyrannical and or to protect themselves with the same type of weaponry used by those for whom they might need protection. Liberal. Where exactly does it say that in the Constitution? Must have missed it. Conservative. Right next to the word muskets. What's amazing about the anti-gun argument is this this washed-up tendency to read the mind of the founding fathers, to think they were incapable of thinking that in 200 years, society would be completely different from that it was in 1776, is simply mind-boggling. Liberals simply cannot fathom that perhaps the founding fathers were brilliant enough to write a document that could withstand the test of time, that these men were perhaps smart enough to understand that the document they birthed needed to be one that could encompass things that they themselves might not be able to comprehend in 1776, but that society would continue to grow, continue to evolve, and continue to develop in ways beyond their scope of understanding. Are we really so damn arrogant as to believe that life, technology, and God knows what in 2212 will be the same as it is in 2012? Kian Sabi. But I know this. Oh, Patriots, I know this. That would be freaking ridiculous. Second, why would we believe the brilliance of Jefferson, Madison, and Hamilton would be anything less in 1776? It is this mentality on the left that only goes to prove how arrogant, how elitist, and yes, how freaking stupid they are. Furthermore, Whitlock, capitalizing on his sudden fame, went on to say later in the week that the NRA was the new KKK and implicated Second Amendment devotees in the arming of so many black youths. What is he really saying here? What in the hell is he really saying? That youths in the black community are so easily led astray? That they have no self-control? And that all the man has to do is roll up in a freaking dump truck, spill the guns on the street, and drive off, leaving the people of that community to pick them up and kill themselves off? How insulting to the black community. How degrading to insinuate that they are so easily manipulated. Such sad musings are so easily dismissed, but should not be. They constitute vile hate speech, as toxic as any condemnation on the basis of race and religion. Obviously, the anti-gun crowd has every right to lament this latest act of senseless violence. However, they are wrong to place on their heads the blinders of revisionist history to the more prevalent roles of guns in our history. The facts are that in the modern day, where they have protected lives and property, an estimated 1.5 to 2 million citizens yearly have prevented acts of violence aimed against themselves by criminals. Remarkably, guns are used for self-defense by 3 to 5 times more than the estimated number of violent crimes committed with guns. Liberals are also conveniently fail to mention that of the 31 states that have shall-issue laws allowing private citizens to carry concealed weapons, those states have on average 24% lower violent crime rate, a 19% lower murder rate, and a 39% lower robbery rate than those states that forbid concealed weapons. You can find that at the Cato Institute. In fact, the 9 states with the lowest violent crime rates are all right to carry. Liberal philosophy is a crutch for weak-minded fools who haven't the cojones to pull their lazy ass up by their bootstraps and make their way in life on their own accord. It's the crack pipe of addiction to government largesse and control over one's life, because checking the mailbox for that next welfare check, standing on the street corner rather than working, impregnating numerous women, and fathering 6 children for whom you haven't neither the time nor the patience to parent and teach sound moral compass to, is much easier than making good choices in life. That being self-reliant and holding yourself accountable is way too much work for an ilk of people born and bred by a government that could care less about their welfare, a government that is simply buying votes because it knows the takers in America are feeble-minded idiots. This war on poverty that has been fought for the last 60 years has crippled nearly half of all Americans. And the only thing the liberal politicians want is to retain their power and fundamentally change the foundation of America. Oh, yeah. And as a country, we'll buy your damn birth control pills and we'll provide murder on demand for your bad, stupid choices in life, according to the left as well. That's my editorial, and I'm sticking to it. Let me bring in my brother Uncle Bing Fisher from Tennessee Command. Bing, how are you doing today, my brother?
We're doing pretty good. A redneck control over here, man. Great editorial. I hope you don't lose your voice totally.
Yeah, I know it. I'm having a hard time getting this crap out of my throat.
That's fine, man. But getting along the same lines, just to add on to that, I don't know if you guys remember Doctors Susanna Gradia Hook, and she testified actually in front of the Texas House of Representatives or she was former Republican. I think she testified somewhere, maybe it was in Texas or it was in somewhere, I believe. But she basically with the gist of her point was she was in a Ruby's, I guess it was, that actually got in Killeen, and they were attacked. The video is great. The ending is what makes it. She says, you know, the Second Amendment is not my right to protect myself really against me. It's my right to protect myself against you. And she was pointing at the senators up there, and that's what it's about, you know. And these people that walk around, these elitists that have bodyguards, that have crowd control, that hire cops to protect them, that carry guns, and want to sit there and talk about our Second Amendment right? Does anybody actually ever really wonder why the framers put the Second Amendment up so high? Really? I mean, think about it for a second. It's to protect our other rights. We have a right to free speech. We need the Second Amendment to protect the right to free speech. We have a right to assemble. We have a right for religious freedom and so on. We need the Second Amendment to protect that right, not from criminals per se, but from them. And from them, I mean these idiots that think that their elitist methods and their mindset is that guns kill people. No, people have control of their own lives. Look at, you know, this all stems into another argument that I was wanting to get into, but I don't know, my mind is just freaking out right now because there's so many emotions going through it. I mean, I can't believe that somebody would be sitting there talking about this, really, in this country. Why do we need to talk about this? This should be a no-brainer, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know how you think, Michael, but to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I do know how you think, but it's a no-brainer. We have a right. This is an inalienable right. This is not a right granted to from the government to the people. This is our God-given right to be able to protect ourselves, to be able to protect ourselves not only, and the framers put this in, not only from people that want to kill us, but from the government that wants to harm us. This
You're
is
absolutely
our right.
You know, I think that's what Obama and the left seem to forget. We all understand. Look, in this regard, we're in an echo chamber. The left thinks that they give us our rights. We believe that we are born with our rights and that the Constitution and the Bill of Rights enumerate. They protect the rights we're born with. And you're absolutely right, Bing. The Second Amendment is there to protect all the other rights.
Right, because if the founding fathers were of such a mind that they put that in there, I mean, it was high on their priority list. Otherwise, it would be buried down, the 14th Amendment, 15th, whatever. It would be buried down. They would not put that up in the top. And their First Amendment was the right to free speech because they did not have that where they came from. The Second Amendment was the right to bear arms and to form a militia and to protect yourself from the government.
Absolutely. We have got a great show today, Brother Bing. We've got a lot of people in the chat room. We've already got a lot of people on hold, including someone that we need to bring in here pretty quick because I don't know what his schedule is today. But before I bring him on, because it kind of goes with him coming on for you and I to welcome him to Conservative Nation radio shows, I just want to make a special announcement to everybody that's listening and everybody in the chat room. First, I want to say hi to my mom and John. I think they're listening. I hope y'all enjoyed the editorial. John, that was for you, brother. Would like to announce, Bing, that after speaking with our buddy Teresa Bruschi, Teresa is taking on, because as you know, brother, in the coming weeks, CNR and Tradam both are going to be announcing a lot of upcoming exciting things for 2013. We're in a major growth spurt right now, and Teresa Bruschi has taken on the responsibility of general manager for Conservative Nation Radio. And I just want to thank her publicly. I think there's some exciting things coming on. And with Mother Teresa as our general manager, I think she can keep all of us hosts in line, all of the producers in line. And we can take CNR, along with Trad M, our partners, to the next level. I'd also just like to publicly thank our friend Kiori Kai, who has designed our newest logo, our new logo. Actually, being we've not had a logo, we've had a banner. But we have a new logo that I'm so proud of, and Kiori did such a remarkable job on it. And she's going to take on an advisory role within CNR, and I'm just so excited, brother.
Oh, man, Teresa Bruschi, and you know, she's a go-getter, and she's a very good helper, and she knows what to do in that aspect. So, yeah, thank you. And, yeah, with Kiori, I mean, beautiful graphics and so on. And, yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on, Michael. I mean, it's just, you know, day-to-day, you know, it's something different, something new is going on. I got two guests booked for the show that I'm sure, well, hopefully booked. One is going to be in February. It's going to be a late one. The next one is going to be probably a couple weeks out. And then I've got another one I'm talking to. And I think you guys are going to really like our lineup that we got. They're conservative guests, and they're gonna blow you away. So,
well, I really think I think friends of CNR are going to be excited with 2013. There's other people I've got in mind that I want to bring in for other things. I don't want to say anything now because I've not even spoken to them or Teresa or to you or any of the other hosts. But I'm really excited. I am, and I'm really excited to bring in this next guest. Because if I'm not mistaken, next Friday, Bing, we launch a new program on CNR. Yep. So I'd like to bring in our new host, and that is Christopher Mante, who is going to be doing Things Not Seen. CNR is growing. This is the next show in our lineup. I'm going to bring Christopher in here, Bing, and let him tell us a little bit about it, a little bit about Duke Brooks, his partner. I don't know. We've got several people online. Duke
is here, too. He can bring Chris can announce Duke to come in.
Well, okay. Which line is – oh, there's Duke. Let me open him up. Christopher, come on in here, brother. I'm going to let you take the next 15, 20 minutes or so is your segment. Go ahead and tell us what you got going on. Introduce Brooke. Introduce yourself. We are so excited. I am so excited. Teresa, our general manager, is very excited. We are very excited to be bringing on Things Not Seen on Conservative Nation radio shows. Go ahead, brother. The floor is yours.
Well, thanks, brother. I can't live up to that at all. So, listen, you dudes, I'm like, this is going to be a big letdown here. I hope nobody minds too much. But first of all, I thank you so much for letting me join the network, and it's just great to see the Lord working here and in my life and in this network and really advancing things real fast. It's very cool. And just a second, what you were saying about Teresa, she's a person who you do not want to disappoint, okay? And she knows what I mean. She's absolutely phenomenal. I've worked with her now, geez Louise, over a year and a half, going back to the Herman Cain days, and just a fantastic, super organized individual, very motivated to succeed, and be happy to, you know, anything we can do to help you folks out would be make us very glad. So anyway, my name is Chris Manti. Name of the show is going to be Things Not Seen. And make of that what you will. It's a double entendre. Number one, because I'm on the radio, so you can't see me. that's nice. And then it's a reference to Hebrews, obviously, as well. And the little graphic I made up for the show itself is pretty neat. I think it's Elijah and chariots of fire in the sky there. But yeah, I was looking for Elisha and where he had his battle coming up, right? And the guy he was with was really scared, and he's like, "Wow, all these this army is against us." And he's like, "Wait a second, check out who we have on our side." And you see all the army that they have that you can't see. So, in any event, I personally I've been a radio fan since about 5 years old. Listened to Don Imus in my parents' kitchen way back. Geez, what was that, 1980, New York suburbs. So I've been a fan ever since then, you know, music, talk, sports, you name it. Not only as a listener, but as a participant, I've been on radio in New Jersey for a couple years, but have been off for quite a while now, over 12 years, I guess. So I was itching to get back in the game, number one, because I, you know, like a lot of these folks, you're sick of yelling at your TV, number one, or your loved ones that don't want to hear it anymore or agree with you. So, you know, let's get it out there and really have an outlet to be positive in our energies. Right. So that's my motivation. Duke Brooks is a extremely professional host of radio shows for years and years. In the Delmarva Peninsula area, Baltimore, D.C., Delaware. I'm here in Delaware, in northern part of the state, not too far from Philadelphia, and Duke is from Sussex County down south. And we worked very closely together the last couple months on the Kevin Wade for U.S. Senate campaign. That didn't go so great, but don't worry about that. Point is, we got very close, and I'm just extremely proud to have him as a co-host here for my program. Friday, 12 noon Eastern, 11 Central, is when we'll be launching it. So keep a lookout, set a reminder, tell all your friends. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet. I have no plan, but that's kind of the reason for the show, which is a very stream of consciousness type of thing. But at the same time, we want it to be highly professional, so you'll be entertained. You know, as far as the connections that we've made here and with Teresa and you folks, I'm sure we're going to have some real kick butt guests over the course of time. And again, we're really looking forward to it here. basically, what you're going to hear on the show is, you know, I tried to specify it a little bit, but it's not going to be a run-of-the-mill stuff. I'm going to talk a lot about obviously politics and all, but, you know, being an anti-socialist, that's just going to come out. That's what happens. But also a lot about religion. Of course, I mean by that the Bible, and how it applies to everyday life, to science, to events of the day, prophecy, all that good stuff. I'll touch on anything and everything as far as that goes. Any type of entertainment, pop culture, I'm into that. Not, you know, not too much, thankfully, but enough where I know what's going on in the world. I'm not in a little bubble over here. And that's the main point that I want to drive home with this show and with a company that I'm starting called Trinity Media, is that we have to go into enemy territory. And because these elections that we're seeing and the results are not anomalies, all right? Our leaders are representative of the electorate. You know, nobody's pulling the wool over their eyes. They voted for Obama because they agree with him, right? So we have to go into their house and don't see the ground of emotion and say, look, this is the truth. This is the deal. Like Paul, right, went to Mars Hill. That's what we have to do, and that's my goal. So anyway, we'll be talking a lot more about that here in the coming weeks. And so just be prepared for fun and education and back and forth, free speech galore. You know, you may hear curse words. Who knows? So keep your ears open. And if Duke is here with me, I'd be happy to introduce him again.
He should be, yeah.
Highly professional individual. We'd love to introduce you to him. Duke Brooks is his name. Again, Sussex County, Delaware is his home. And if Duke's there, I'd love to have him talk to you. Duke?
Hello, Chris. How are you today, my friend?
Hey, man, I'm great. How are you doing?
I hope you can hear me well. I'm using my telephone instead of Skype.
Yep.
Simply because, as you're aware of, that, you know, one thing about computers, and frankly, I think this is a vast kind of left-wing conspiracy, is that the faster they are, the slower they are. I mean, I have this computer that's supposed to be light speed and 500 quintillion operations per second and all that stuff, and it takes about 15 to 20 minutes for it to boot up. So, you know, and I still can't get Skype working, but, you know, I sure hope that we are able with our program, Things Unseen, on Fridays, to sort of let people know that the media portrayal of conservatives, which has been in effect now for about the last 50 years in this country, is not only contrived, but it is untrue. And by that I mean when people commit bias crimes, when the Ku Klux Klan assembles, when things of that nature take place, the media will generally try to ascribe these things to conservatives. And that is actually the opposite of the way things really are. A real conservative believes in a colorblind society. A real conservative does not believe in coming up with special laws to protect groups of people, because the Constitution is not there to protect groups. It is there to protect individuals. So this is one of the things that I hope we're going to be able to do on here on Conservative Radio every Friday. And I hope that people are going to pay attention, perhaps have a little bit of an open mind, and listen to what you and I have to say, and call in and speak with us, and listen to our guests, and just basically get some education as to what has been happening in this country for the last 50 to 75 years, and why this is bad news for the United States, and ultimately bad news for Western civilization in general. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, let me jump in here, if I could, real quick, Chris and Duke. First of all, I just want to say I am so excited to have both of you gentlemen join Conservative Nation radio shows. I think this is going to open up the network and directions that I see us going in. Second of all, I do need for one of you two to tell us your times, because we do want to start promoting so that people can tune in for your afternoon show. And I just want to say I'm excited about it, because I'm the kind of person that believes God quenches my soul, guns secure my liberty. And that is why I'm so excited about your show.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it too, man.
Noon to two Eastern time every Friday.
Eastern time. Okay, so for a redneck from Tennessee, that would be...
That's 11 to 1.
11 to 1.
Right.
Now, you were talking about, we have these protected groups of people and so on. Duke, you were talking about that, and the 14th Amendment basically grants, equal protection to everybody under the law, but we have these protected groups. And, you know, I read about somebody that got charged with a hate crime, and you know, the dude should be put in jail for attempted murder. I don't care about what the hate crime is. We are committing a hate crime, I think, every day with abortions. And that's just my opinion. But that's, I mean, over 1 million a day. And I guess tough with somebody the other day about... How do you feel about like people being moderate? That like John Boehner out there, you know, wants to be a moderate, and he wants to conform more to the middle. That the conservatives think that they've lost, that they can't win on conservative principles anymore. I disagree with that totally.
Yeah, this reminds me of. I just watched Lincoln the other week out in the movie theater, and this really kind of seems like what's happening today. Look. If you're a call us what you will, I'm an abolitionist, and so what would they call them there? Not an extremist. What was the term of the day?
Radical Republicans.
Radical, right? A radical.
Yeah, the Tea Party marginalized. know?
Yeah, so on that fits me. So be it. That's what we're talking about. And we're talking about good and evil stuff. There's really no need and no good result from trying to split the baby. So, yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with being a telling the truth and let it fall where it may. And, you know, if we're radical, so be it. So
you know,
it.
That kind of reminds me when I spoke to KK, to Kiori, and asked her if she would design a new logo for our network, I kind of had this design in mind, and I was thinking about, and in fact, here in a little while, because I know Zach is waiting. Zach, hang tight. I do want to get you on, my brother. You're up next. But I was thinking about the Tea Party, the Boehner thing, the Jim DeMint thing and everything, where the Tea Party fits in, how we're not liked by the establishment GOP. And I came up with this. We are the rebel right. And you'll see that in our logo now. And we are. We truly are. Our shows are an expression of being rebels of the right. Christopher or Duke or Bing, what would you say about that?
I agree. Jefferson and Madison were rebels. They were rebels back then. You know, and you know that you know they're trying to marginalize the Tea Party because they're scared of us. They're scared. They're absolutely petrified.
You know, one of the problems that we're facing right now is the fact that the Speaker of the House, John Boehner of Ohio, is a Republican, but as you mentioned, he is trying to come off like a moderate. And I think one of the problems is that when someone gets into Washington, D.C., and they become something like a lifelong legislator like John Boehner, they tend to begin acting not like Republicans, but instead like career politicians. And we know, we in Delaware know all about career politicians, Chris, because you and I spent the last 6 or 8 months trying to dislodge one of them on behalf of our friend Kevin Wade, right, who certainly have been a much better senator than Tom Carper is, or even Chris Coons, the freshman. I saw Tom Carper last night. I saw the Speaker of the Delaware House, a guy named Gilligan, and he has been in the Delaware House of Representatives for 40 years. Think about that for a moment.
Yeah, it's time for him to get on the SS Minnow, is what you're saying.
You better believe it, along with the Professor and Mary Ann. But the fact of the matter is, that's unhealthy. There is simply no way that a person should get into Washington, D.C., get into the legislature, get into any position there, and basically stay there for 20 or 30 or 40 years. It simply doesn't make any sense. It is unhealthy. It is wrongful. And it is, I mean, even you know, finally, the citizens of the state of Indiana figured out that Richard Lugar, even though he's a Republican, was no longer one of them. Richard Lugar had been in the United States Senate, I think, since right before the War of 1812. He had been so long, he no longer even had an address in Indiana. And they finally got rid of him. I don't have anything against Orrin Hatch. I think Orrin Hatch is probably a good man. He's a Republican. He's a social and fiscal conservative, at least he says he is. But the fact of the matter is, I think he knew Brigham Young personally and has been a U.S. senator from Utah since George Washington was 9. And that is simply too long. He needs to go. All these people that have been there for 30, 40 years, they are going to do what is right for government. They are not going to do what is right for the American people. And I think we're seeing that in John Boehner right now. And frankly, I think it's disgraceful.
Oh, definitely. He threw the Tea Party under the bus. He threw his own fellow Republicans under the bus. This guy has got, I don't know, he's either got a death wish I don't think he's that bright, so it can't be that he's smart in what he's doing. But I think this guy's got a death wish for the GOP, for the Grand Old Party, because I just don't. And then you got other people out there in my state, Bob Corker, wanting to sit there and means test Medicare that you and me pay into. The same thing, like they're trying to means test Social Security, so that if you know, when you go to get your retirement and so on, if you ever do, I doubt we ever will. You know, I'm only 52, but anyways, when you go to get that, how are they going to means test that? They're going to look at my 401k and see how much money I got in there and say, well, look, you know, Mr. Bing, Uncle Bing, I think you know, actually have more money, and there's other people out there that are more deserving than you. This creates a welfare type program. And it already is borderline welfare. And this creates a welfare program. And Bob Corker ought to be ashamed of himself for sitting there trying to tout this as some kind of robust economic growth revenue that he's creating. He's not creating anything. He's going to damage the economy.
There are a couple of different looking at this problem. And if you're going to means test it on the backside. In other words, if you're going to means test the recipients of the program based on either their income or their assets or a combination of the two, then you should means test people on the front side. In other words, if you are earning or you possess enough money that you will be able to afford to pay for your own medical care, even in the future, then you don't have to pay for Medicare. I mean, it seems to me
on the front end, yeah, but it's backloaded, see, because I've done already paid into it. So where does that money go? It just goes somewhere. But, you know, that's probably a topic for another day, and I really would like to talk about this because I think that's where this country is heading, is a welfare-type state for programs that we actually pay into. If we get into the topic of means testing, I guess drug testing people that are on welfare. You know, I guess we can get into that. But that actually is also a means testing too. But the thing is that we're paying for them. You know, so
that's different than Medicare, unemployment, and Social Security, which technically are insurance programs. And if you pay into the insurance, then you get the benefit or the payout. Welfare is different, as you mentioned. That is something that is just basically generosity and charity from other people. And, yeah, if you're receiving welfare, you should have to prove that you are not using illegal drugs. And otherwise, the welfare money winds up in the pockets of South American drug lords. And we can't have that. That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, and I'll tell you what, I both you guys here are just sounding like, I mean, like somebody said, we ought to have a barbershop quartet. I mean, you can sing, dude. You know.
I'll show you on my, now I feel like a Friday is going to be a sing-off. I'm ready for this.
Well, he mentioned Gilligan's Island earlier, but I was going to say Marianne or Ginger. I mean, you know, Marianne, okay. Anyways, let's move on and get Michael. I don't know how your voice is doing this, brother.
I was going to say, if you guys can hang tight for our roundtable, we'd love to have you. But I do have some folks hanging tight, that especially Zach Poskovich. I want to get him on here. I know his time schedule is very limited, and he has been holding for quite a while. Real quickly, Christopher, just recap your website and you're launching next Friday. And your time, and et cetera.
Yes, Things Not Seen, radio program, Things Not Seen, Friday, 11 to 1 Central, 12 to 2 Eastern, 12 to 2 Eastern, 11 to 1 Central. It'll be this Friday and every Friday from here on out. We have, obviously, we're part of your larger page at conservativenation.org. And my personal one that's going to have a lot of play is TrinityMediaOnline.com. But we can talk about that more as things go on here. But again, 12 to 2 Eastern, 11 to 1 Central Time starting Friday. I appreciate you very, very much. I don't know if I can stay. I know Duke loves to chat. So we appreciate all you're doing, and we'll talk to you guys very soon.
I appreciate both of you guys very much. And your Trinity Media website is just as important as ours, so you push it anytime you want to. We do have a link to it at the CNR website. So thank you, Christopher, for joining us today.
Very
I'm
going
to place both of you guys on mute for just a moment. But if you can hang out, we'd love to have you on the round table. Before I bring Zach in here, I just want to say that I'm enjoying a birthday present that my mom got for me this last Wednesday for my 49th birthday. I'm enjoying the most lovely La Flor Dominica Double Zero Chisel cigar that you have ever enjoyed in your life. And it's a very good cigar. Just wanted to share that all with you. As I bring in to the conversation our brother from Tennessee, a man that I was very proud to support, as well as my partner, Bing Fisher. Zach Poskovich, are you there, my brother?
I am. How y'all doing today?
We are doing terrific. Tell us what's going on in Zach's world. We've got a lot going on in CNR, and I'm so glad that you could join us today.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I tell you, just listening, man, I'm fired up. I got more fired up the more I listen. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing, and the maturity of the radio station is just astounding to see, and I'm very appreciative of what you guys are doing.
Well, Zach, you know, we didn't do what we wanted to do against the Porker, who was on Chris Wallace this morning. We've got plans for you, my brother, moving forward. But tell us what's going on. How's the wife? How's the kids? What's going on in Zach's world? What are your plans, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, things are going fairly well, you know, after the primary season for me. You know, things didn't work out, but like we thought. But I will tell you that I believe that there is a closer net of people working together now for a common goal than there ever has been in the past. And I think that's the benefit. And we just have to keep on reminding people that it's not all about the battle. It's the war we're in, and we got to constantly fight the good fight. And, you know, earlier in your show, you talked about, of course, what Costas had said about gun control. And what Bain had brought out, too, was the fact that our rights do have a hierarchy to them. And the hierarchy is life, because without life, nothing else exists. And so if I'm unable to protect my life, then I really have no rights. And we get into that discussion about the government-granted rights, and of course we know that's what our founding fathers, as they put together the Constitution, that was their biggest challenge, is to make sure that they gave the power to the people to prevent a tyrannical government from taking over. And once they take our guns, that is the end of the story, as we know America today. And so it's not that we can be demonized as God-loving, gun-carrying individuals. I wear that tag with pride. But what we need to do is remind people that it's just not about the choice to carry a weapon that we're talking about. We are talking about the very essence of our right to life. And without that, we are totally dependent on the government, which, again, we can go back and look at the dependency that has been created generation after generation, placing people into a governmental indentured servitude. And we need to get people out of that. We need to pull them out. And we can do that by, again, promoting those principles of individual liberty, of God-given rights versus government-granted rights. You know, one thing became very clear to me through the campaign, and I didn't really know what to do with it. And since the election, I have been kind of sitting back and pondering it and praying about it. And as I talked to other candidates who I thought would absolutely win because they were God-fearing people, they knew the Constitution, and they didn't win either. And that troubled me greatly. And when I looked at each of these races, I saw a common enemy. And it surprised me because I really didn't connect the dots originally. And that common enemy that I saw was the GOP leadership. We had GOP leadership across the state of Tennessee that were going after GOP candidates, even after the primary. And see, our loyalty is not with a party or a person, and we don't belong to that party. We belong to we are members, we are citizens of the United States of America, and that's what we have to remind ourselves. And when a party or a person puts those values, those principles aside, then we have to stand up and say, we will no longer support that. And I think the answer to our problem is stop spending our energy, our time fighting the GOP. We have to get out. What is most people that I came in contact with always told me that the Republican Party is horrible at getting the message out because they generally are playing defense, and they have to they find themselves in a position where they're softening a policy that the Democrats are pushing rather than going back to our founding principle and identifying what it is. I believe that if we start pushing forward the ideas around our conservative, our constitutional principles, and stop fighting the GOP, go a wholly different way because they have left us, and they're only pulling us down. You know, when I was growing up, my mom and dad told me there is guilt by association. Be careful who you run around with because you may not be doing the things that they're doing, but you're going to be found guilty because you hang around them. And that's exactly where we find the GOP today, in my opinion.
Well,
I think the answer – go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Zach, you're giving me a great segue, and I want your opinion on this because we had some other news this week aside from the Bob Costa story, and that was Jim DeMint. And you were running for the Senate, and I personally wanted you in there with Ted Cruz as a constitutional conservative with Pat Toomey, Mike Lee, Senator Paul. I mean, we could have had a Tea Party caucus in there that could have kicked some ass. And I just want to read real quick a portion of an op-ed and then get your take on it. And hang on, this is from the New York Times. By the way, do you hear that sound, guys? That's a newspaper. That's the original laptop. And this is from... it's called The Years of Senator DeMint from Ross Dotwat, I think is his last name, New York Times from yesterday. In November 2008, just after John McCain was routed by Barack Obama, Jim DeMint addressed the Myrtle Beach Conference on the future of the Republican Party. The first-term South Carolina senator was there to reassure his audience Republicans might have lost an election, but conservatives hadn't lost the country. His party's only problem, DeMint promised, was insufficient ideological commitment. The Republicans had strayed from the small government principles during the Bush era and then foolishly nominated a moderate like McCain, and I'm going to insert here in 2012, Romney. Americans do prefer traditional conservative government, he told his listeners. But in 2008, between Bush's deficit spending and McCain's heterodoxies, they just didn't believe the Republicans were going to give it to him. He goes on to end his column with, but his tone and themes represented a very different response to an electoral drubbing, the kind of retrenchment Republicans embraced 4 years ago. And as DeMint exits the electoral politics stage right, his legacy ultimately depends on whether that difference turns out to be real or superficial. I think that's the end of that editorial. I think that Jim DeMint, I'm sad to see him go, Zach. I really am. I think he was a potential leader of our party. Look, I know that Senator Cornyn is our senior senator here in Texas. And incoming Senator Ted Cruz got a lot of slack here in Texas about whether or not he would support Jim DeMint or Senator Cornyn should they both decide to run for Senate Majority Leader, or in our case, Senate Minority Leader. But the fact is I would have urged Senator Cruz to support Senator Jim DeMint over Cornyne, even though Cornyne's a Texan, because to me Cornyne is a rhino. I'm sad to see Jim DeMint go. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I'm sad to see him go as well. It's the man, definitely Senator DeMint was one of the, if not the premier conservative voice in the Senate. And when you're elected to an office and you have over 4 years left in your term and you leave, I don't know. I always have a problem with someone quitting halfway in what their constituents sent them to do. Especially, if he wanted to lead, I think he would have a tremendous impact if he would have changed his R to an I, or started working not necessarily against the Republican Party, but saying, you know what, like he said, the Republican Party is basically dead. They don't stand for anything. Rand Paul this week also said that if the Republicans aren't going to stand for, conservative ideals, then they might as well disband. And that's where we're at. We're constantly fighting the machine. And so I think Rand Paul, I think Senator DeMint, I think Ted Cruz, all these guys could show their unity and show their not just conservative but constitutionalist commitment by saying, you know what, we're no longer. They're already getting snubbed by the leadership anyway. Why not go ahead and lead? This is a time where we need leaders, not followers. We don't need people to be scared of what's going to happen in the future. We need leaders who are going to lead us to that future that we know that we deserve, that we know that's better than what we have today, and that we're willing to fight for it. And that's what I would like to see. Now, will he do great work at the Heritage Foundation? Probably. Will he be able to steer more funds to various campaigns? I think so. But are those dollars going to be spent on the typical nature? We reached out to the SCF, for help in our campaign, and all I was asking for was only a verbal endorsement. I said, I don't want your money, because if I get your endorsement, and that won't sway constitutionalists, conservatives who are on the fence, who really don't know about Bob Corker, but they know about you and they respect your idea and your voice. If I can't get them off the couch, then your money's not going to help me. And they wouldn't even do that, because they didn't want to be seen as going against Big Bob unless we had money in the bank. So I fear that with him at the Heritage Foundation, and with a higher visibility to direct where dollars go, is we're still going to get into that trap in thinking, money does have a role, but if you have money and a person who is not constitutionally principled, like Mitt Romney, he's a great man from all accounts, but he's not a man that I would go and say, hey, go fight for the Constitution, because I've done seen how he has laid on the Constitution. And so you can spend $1 billion and still not get elected. I think we could have spent less money with a constitutionally minded person and started talking about Constitution ideas, about why is God or God given rights better than government granted rights? Why is individual liberty better than the community liberty? Why is free market better than a nationalized market or a socialized market? Let's have these ideas, these conversations, this dialogue, instead of always dumbing down the message.
Well, yeah, and as I said earlier, I mean, the GOP pretty much threw Mitt Romney right under the bus and started pointing fingers and putting the blame on Tea Party groups and so on for losing the election. Well, in my opinion, they lost the election. You can't blame it on nobody else. The Tea Party actually was instrumental in getting a lot of these people that are good constitutionalists in there. And I wanted to ask you something, Zach. I mean, this moderation thing that everybody talks about, that we can't win on a conservative message anymore. How do you feel about that? Should we sit there and actually moderate? And to what point? I mean, you don't talk to people or to try to compromise on conservative principles that are your core beliefs. When we start to compromise on that kind of stuff, that's where we lose.
Right. I think it's people that say that really don't understand our founding principles and don't know how to convey or articulate them. And so because of that, again, they're always finding themselves in that defense versus offense position. And so that's why they always moderate or move to the left of center. And I believe I've been pretty fortunate, too, to here lately, last couple weeks, meet some families that are kind of new to the country and now are citizens. And they've been very open with me about who they used, you know, who when they were they first come here, who they would support and why. And then they got to, once they started, you know, making their own live-in and having their own children, they started looking at the future for their kids. And then it became very obvious to them why the Liberal Democrat policies were the wrong policies. And so that's what we, and it was kind of an eye-opener to me to see another perspective, someone who kind of started on that more liberal side and then woke up as they grew their family and from an economic perspective. And that's where we have to hit it. We got to stop talking about tax cuts for the rich. We have to start talking about equality. We've got to talk about what our progressive tax system is. It is a goal from the Communist Party to take over America. It is class envy. Are people more united when there's envy, or are they more divided? They're more divided. Well, what's the reason for division? You know, just like the Roman Empire, it imploded on itself. There was no empire that destroyed Rome. Rome destroyed itself, and America will destroy herself also if we don't start making the necessary corrections. You know, this physical cliff, you know, it was the compromise that the Republicans did because they said, well, if we compromise now, we won't have to have this fight, it won't get dirty, and we'll be able to win the 2012 election. Well, how'd that work out? Not so good, right?
No,
so
I mean,
the point is you always have to stand on your principle, because principle will guide. If you lose when you stand on principle, then it's a loss that you can still hold your head high. If you compromise and sell out and you still lose, then you can't hold your head up
because
you're a sellout.
Yeah, you basically sold your soul. I mean, you know, that's the way I keep looking at this. I'm like, and the thing is that, look, the liberal media press just wants to marginalize the Tea Party. They want us to think that conservatism cannot win. Well, look at how many people are on this show right here. Look at how many people are on all these other shows that are conservative on the CNR network and on Facebook and everywhere else. It can win. It can. I'm a firm believer in that. And I'd like to bring on a buddy of yours, Zach. He's been on here for a while. I got to get him on here. He's going to probably hate me. But Kurt Blackwood from Tennessee, another Tennessean. Kurt, your mic is hot. Hope you're here. But say hi.
Hey,
hi, Zach.
How you doing?
And Zach,
how
Kurt,
you doing?
Kurt, I think we're going to draft Zach. How's that?
Say again.
Go. I say we're going to draft Zach.
Oh,
like watch.
Okay. All right. Proceed. Proceed with the plan. Actually, I guess my mind has been focused more on state issues of late, because we have a situation facing us here that's coming up in the very, very near future. Not that there's anything wrong with looking ahead to the national scene. This needs to be done. But what has had my attention the last few days was the deadline that got moved ahead. I've forgotten the original date, but it now sets on December 14th when our governor is supposed to announce his decision on which direction he will move and which direction he will try to move the state forward in on this question of the Obamacare health care exchanges. This is a juggernaut that's bearing down on us quickly. First of all, the state of Tennessee, the House of Representatives and the state Senate both passed in 2011 the health care my line's blanking out over here. The Tennessee Health Care Freedom Act. It was ratified by both houses and it was signed by the governor, which is supposed to opt Tennessee out of this thing. In other words, to keep Tennessee from forming an exchange itself. Now, Haslam and company are trying to skirt around that some way. I've been told by people in Nashville that they don't think that there's any way that he can do this, but I don't know. I've seen some things happen lately that, well, that surprised me so greatly. I guess I think that anything might be possible if these left-wing people try hard enough. I mean, we've lost too many battles.
Yeah, I think, you know, you mentioned the federal scene, and you're talking about the state scene, but I tell you, it's just as bad at the state level because we have a, you know, the only GOP leadership that was even challenged in the state of Tennessee was Judd Matheny, and we saw what they did to him. And I think that just underscores the fact that we're losing the voice that we think we have. And, you know, at the last, you know, during my election, there was a couple of bloggers that said, you know what, they were going to endorse Bob Corker because they put a high price on having access. Now, my question was access to what and access for what? You know, but that's our problem. If we think we're going to get shunned out of something because we're standing on principle, then we're approaching it the wrong way. That rally that was downtown in Nashville that you guys that I saw a bunch of people at, you know, for there were about 500 people there. You know, it'd been great to see, you know, 5,000 people there.
Yes.
You know, at that event. But I think the only thing that's going to speak louder than words to the Republican Party is to understand that they can no longer take us for granted. And the only way to do that is to rise up party or another group of candidates that are not running on the Republican platform. Because ultimately, when you have a system that has open primaries, you can find the most conservative guy that you want, but you know, we saw it with Haslam, as I think everybody here agrees, that, you know, the Democrats crossed over in the primary and vote Haslam in. Well, we're not going to fix that problem until we either close the primary or we run a different candidate on a different party and get behind them. The other thing is, you know, we saw the Republican Party that they can't even challenge voter fraud because of an agreement they made on a court case. Now, I don't know why I would, if this was a business deal and I was going into business, and let's say it's going into the department store and saying, you know what, you can have department store, your region is in the southeast, but if you find that Walmart is participating in unfair business practices and colluding in that area, well, you can't do nothing about it. Well, I wouldn't. That would not be a business deal I would enter into because my hands are tied and I no longer have the freedom, nor have law and justice at on an equal basis. And that's where we find ourselves today when we're constantly fighting the GOP. And I think it's absolutely about the state issues and local issues and raising people and a different mindset that we have to raise up in order to take our country back, in order to take Tennessee back. Because, you know, you look on the surface and we're red, but we're not conservative red. We're more blue dog red and not even blue dog anymore. And that's what we have to be very careful of, because once it swings that other way, just like at the federal level, it's going to be harder and harder to fix.
Yeah, that's very correct.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Cunningham over at Tennessee Taxville, I mean, in Nashville Tea Party, I mean, he was very instrumental in that rally over there in Nashville, and he's always been instrumental in any kind of tax issue. So, I mean, these are all, and he was on our show two, 3 weeks ago. These are the kind of people that we need to hang out with. We need to surround ourselves with them, because when you surround yourself with good people, you actually become good people. You see what I'm saying? You are who you hang out with. And Zach, I got to tell you, man, I mean, you following you around for at least a day or two I had with you, I mean, you are the hardest working candidate I've ever seen running for the Senate. So, I mean, but we're going to draft you. We're going to do something.
Well, I appreciate that.
Guarantee it, because you're too much of a, not a commodity, I guess it would be, but you're too much of a product to sit there and market. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, he's definitely somebody that we want to keep in mind for, I don't know, maybe Lamar's seat. But, hey, listen, real quickly, I need to get a PSA in here. Zach, do you have time to sit around? We've got people on hold that might want to talk to you. Duke's still on hold with us.
We need to get Boyd on here, Ron.
Yeah, we've got other folks. And I want to just real quickly before I do this PSA being, I want to encourage our buddy Barbara from North Carolina to call in, 718-305-7176. Call in. I enjoy having her call in. I like her perspective, a northerner that's living in the South now. But let me just get this PSA knocked out real quick.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come.
When a call for a medic went out, Alan left a covered position to run to render aid. That was when he was hit.
The bullet struck him on the right side between his body armor.
Say a prayer for peace.
Alan was one of the first wounded warriors to come out of Iraq in 2003. I'm Trace Atkins, and I want to tell you about Wounded Warrior Project and how they helped this brave young man and his family.
There was life in his eyes, but everything else was non-responsive.
The doctors anticipated that Alan would be bedridden and need to be spoon-fed for the rest of his life.
The job of helping wounded warriors rebuild their lives is massive and growing every day. Your gift of just $19 a month will help wounded warriors like Alan, who refuse to give up.
I'm in the fields of Vietnam, the mountains of Afghanistan.
Alan earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star for his actions on the battlefield. He is a true American hero. But Alan became my hero for the battle he fought day after day after day to get his life back.
Your call today and a gift of $19 a month can help provide our wounded warriors with desperately needed programs and services through Wounded Warrior Project.
I would encourage you to donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
It's going to take a lot of us for a long time to help these young men and women.
Call or go online with a pledge of $19 a month and you'll receive this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
Wounded Warrior Project, all I can really say is thank you. Thank you for being there and giving me something to achieve.
Say a prayer for peace.
This is D-Rock, and you're listening to Soldiers of Patriotism.
All right. Thank you very much, D. Folks, as you all know, I'm a veteran. I stood that wall. I wrote that blank check. But unlike my brother Zach, who was over there, or so many of our brothers and sisters who stood that wall to give us our freedom that are hurting now. I can't, if you've got a few extra free bucks, Wounded Warrior Project, it's a cause that I support wholeheartedly. Bing, let me bring you in here. I've got the mics opened up. Everybody's on open mic right now. So if y'all just mind your background noise, we're going to start bringing everybody in for the final segment of this show, Roundtable. We've got Duke Brooks on with us, who is going to be a partner with Chris Mente on Things Not Seen. We've also got former Senate candidate Zach Poskovich from the great volunteer state of Tennessee, who's on with us as well. Anything you want to talk about, the lines are opened up. Ben, go ahead. I got to step back and wipe my eyes for a minute.
All right, buddy. Yeah, please contribute to Wounded Warriors, man. They're a great, great foundation, and, you know, a couple bucks goes a long way over there. Let me go to Boyd. Boyd, you've been holding down here for a while, and Ron, too. Let me go to Boyd first, though. What do you got to say there, Mr. Alaskan?
Well, let me get my mic then muted. I'm doing a little background noise check. You know, I called in earlier, and there was a subject I was going to talk about, but, you know, I got that CRS real bad, and I can't remember what it is.
Well, we had a lot of subjects that we went through here real quick, but
yeah. Well,
maybe something will jog your memory.
I want to ask Zach a question as a constitutionalist. Bing, you've already heard this. Zach, now, what would your feelings be if I was the Speaker of the House of Representatives and all fiscal bills that spend money are supposed to originate in the House of Representatives? Supposing I was a Speaker of the House and I've decided that finally we've gone too far without a budget, and just say there will be no money spent from the United States of America's Treasury, period, until a budget is signed and passed by both houses, and then signed by the president, and just shut it down.
Hey, just defund it. Good question, Zach. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, the speaker definitely, I mean, that's why if we look at back at our founders' intent, the branch that they felt that is very well documented, that has the most power, is the House of Representatives. You know, we always hear about this equal branch, equal powers, but that's not the case. Congress has much more power. They just fail to use it. In fact, the Congress can set aside laws that are out of the provision of the Supreme Court, and we all should be worried about that power, considering the justices that will probably get nominated in the next 4 years. But anyway, back to your question, I think Speaker Boehner should definitely do that with the provisions, of course, taking in consideration our national defense. We don't want to put our national sovereignty at risk and do the one thing that our federal government is called to do, which is to provide that common defense. So that's exactly where they should start. You know, the sad thing is if we took the defense spending out of the budget, we still would be running a deficit. And well, if we took all the
I think he was talking about the entitlement programs, but you kind of dropped out there, Zach. But yeah, I think he's right. I mean, what we're talking about here is really a drop in the bucket. The spending is the problem. We don't really have a revenue problem. We've got ways of fixing that. We have a spending problem. And we don't have a way of fixing that because nobody's got the kahunas to sit up there and start cutting spending.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, the House has passed numerous budget bills that have gone to the Senate that have not even made it to the Senate floor for deliberation. I mean, they've been they've been DOA before they even get to the Senate. And the Senate has not deliberated on them, passed them or not passed them to in order to go to a conference committee to work their differences out on a budget. The only thing that's been keeping us going for the last 3 years are continuing resolutions, meaning we're working off of Bush's last budget that have automatic increases to all departments across the board that all need to be looked at. And by doing a complete and total shutdown of the Treasury Department, and any and all money is going out, now they can, you know, they can say, okay, well, we'll let the entitlements go out, or we'll let defense spending continue to go, but everything else is shut down. And I mean shut down to the point where the congressmen, their staff, the senators, their staff, the president, his staff, everybody has zero money to spend. They can't operate. All the bureaucrats will have to be showed the door because they don't have money for payroll. They can't do nothing.
Well, when you hold the purse strings, you actually have control. You have, and that's the only thing that we have control of right now is the purse strings, and that's the House. So, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I've been saying this for months.
And that
you know,
that would force everybody to come together to work on a budget and get a budget passed. Doesn't mean that it will be a good budget, but it'll mean that the budget issue is no longer an issue because of the fact that there is a budget. You know, like you've always said, you know, you don't just jump into a swimming hole that you've never been to. You go in easy and try and find the bottom. Well,
right, we don't know where the bottom is.
The bottom for us keeps raising and lowering. We don't know where the bottom is. I'd say let's go off the physical cliff with a rocket and go down. We'll find that bottom. Then we can start rebuilding.
Yeah, and if Zach wants to comment on that, that's great. I'd like to know where the bottom is. I'd like to know what I'm going to miss, what is going to hurt me. I know my taxes are going to go up. They're already going to go up anyways with Obamacare. So let's let the bottom go up. Let it drop off. Let's see what we're actually missing and what we need. That's my opinion. Ron, if you're there.
Yes, I am.
You care to comment, sir?
Well, not on that. I'll be changing subject since we've got Mr. Zach on the phone on the line.
What about
gun control? What are we going to do about this? They're going to start coming into our homes and getting our guns soon if they keep this up. I'm just really worried about our basic rights, and they're getting trashed daily by this poser of a president.
Zach, are you there, buddy?
Uh-oh.
I think Zach's in a bad... He's still showing to be on, but he's not... I don't know if we can hear him or if he cannot hear us, Ron.
Oh, that's okay. That's what I was wondering about ever since the beginning of the show, and then I didn't realize Zach was going to be on, and then I liked asking him that question and get his perspective on it.
Yeah, Zach just dropped.
Yeah, he just dropped. But speaking of that, I guess you're referring back to my editorial. So being where you live and whatnot, what are your thoughts, your own personal thoughts on what Costa said, editorial, where we're looking to go, what the government may do, what the liberals may do, et cetera, et cetera?
Who was that directed towards, Michael?
Was that Ron that just asked the question?
Oh, right. Yeah, Ron. Ron asked. What do you think, Ron?
Well, I mean, I'm you know my point, and I'm steady on this. We're not in the streets, And as long as we're not in the streets, nothing's going to change. We can sit here and beat our gums all day until we stand up in their faces and tell them no. So why aren't we in the streets? Where's our tipping point? I mean, I've hit my boiling point, but I hate to boil by myself. We're going to need millions of us out there boiling at once to ever get anybody's attention. How we do that?
Well, the thing is, first, is that they've got us into the proverbial frog in the pot, where you just slowly increase the temperature of the water until the frog either dies in the water and gets boiled or he jumps out, you know. And that's the way the liberals have been doing this for years. Now, it's 100 years. We got to understand that they've been doing this for over 100 years now, and it's not going to take one election cycle. It's going to take 2, 3, 4, 5. It might take us 250 years, you know, to get our country back. It might not even take that long. I don't know. I'm not the genie. I don't really actually know that. But the thing is that I know that we have to do something. And we can't sit here and, you know, we can talk about it, and that's part of it. That's part and parcel of it. But we also have to get out there and do stuff, too. We have to be involved.
Well, my solution, Ron, is that if things get much worse, we're all moving up there with either you or Boyd and Chuck up in Alaska.
I live down south.
Well, you know.
We do need to band together and be a community.
We may be moving up to Alaska with Boyd and Chuck and setting up a conservative commune up there in the last frontier of the United States. Ron, hang on. I've got a few other folks I want to get on, and then we're going to go back through and have final parting comments from everybody that's on the line right now. So everybody that's on right now, hang tight. But we've got a caller, Brother Bing, that I'm not familiar with, and I want to get to know this lady. I think it's her first time to call in to us. The name's not familiar to me. Liz, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Liz, first of all, I'm Michael and my partner's Uncle Bing. Thank you for calling in today. Is this your first time to join us?
Yep, or is this your first time to call? First time to join you, first time to call in. I ran into Uncle Bing last night because of Rick Bulow.
Well, Liz, come on in here. Take whatever time you need. I always like to give our new guests and our new callers a little bit of extra time. So say what you got to say. What's on your mind? Let your voice be heard, Patriot.
Okay. Well, first, on Ron's beef about the gun control, I spend quite a bit of time hanging around all of the anti-gun control folks, and one of my fellow hosts from over at the 405radio.com, Tammy Jackson. She's from the Hugh Hewitt crew, and she's our resident anti-gun law person. So we're always hearing, you got to be active, you got to do this, you got to do that, and the bottom line always turns into being, make sure you pay your NRA. Because while we're all quiet, they are not. They are still spending more money than just about anybody else when it comes to lobbying on the Hill. And the bottom line is, we've already said it, money talks. So, yeah, make sure you support your NRA and, of course, be vocal. Yes, there's no question about that. But it's going to be a very difficult uphill battle for the left no matter what when it comes to gun control because of that lobby. And we have to be thankful for that. But you don't sit back on your heels and let them do all the heavy lifting. But otherwise, to understand where I'm coming from, I've been around quite a bit on the conservative circuit. I'm surprised I haven't come across you guys before. I'm over at Conservative Daily News, and I'm a member of Politics Nation. So,
Politics.
Politics.
I love that, Politics. Damn.
Yeah, I'm a Pennsylvania Politic.
I love that. You know what? I think our buddy Barbara is a Politic as well. But maybe she doesn't belong to that group, but she should.
Yeah. For better or worse, I'm a columnist over there, and I'm usually hammering on the fiscal conservative end, and my bailiwick is foreign policy and Middle East in particular. So, yeah, and I do a radio show over at the405.com, so that's The Right War, which is currently on Mondays, but will soon be on Wednesdays. We've got all sorts of scheduling stuff going on. But, yeah, we're plugging along out there. We're younger than you. We've only been around for a short amount of time, a little over a year, I believe it is. I've only been there since sometime in the summer. So, but, yeah, basically I figured I better call in because Uncle Bing said to.
Well, first of all, Liz, I'd like to say thank you. Second of all, I'd like to ask you to email our general manager at Conservative Nation Radios, Teresa at conservativenationradio.org. We'd like to link our site to yours or to your blog or to whatever, and help support you guys. So if you would email her, she is our general manager, she's the boss, and she will help us get that coordinated.
We'll return the favor, put you all on our blog roll.
Well, we appreciate that.
And listen, Liz, what's with this younger than you talk, okay? I mean, I'm sitting here going,
you gotta be,
what?
You got to be careful with touchy. The younger, older stuff here. Bing and I are, we're both a little touchy about the age thing.
At least I ain't fat, okay? So, you know.
I'm 40, and I always feel like the old person as far as the crews that I'm usually around. Because I'm usually around misfit politics and all of them.
No, it's all good. I normally get an age joke about once a week, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, Liz,
I know it was unintended.
Well, actually, I hate to say this, but I do have to get going because I got family stuff going on. But I'm glad to be able to say hello, and I'll get in touch with your general manager.
Well, Liz, before you go, then go ahead. Give us your websites, your radio shows, everything. Do that before you go because I would have asked you to do that in final remarks, but go ahead and do that now.
Okay. Well, like I said, I'm from the405radio.com, and we do nightly shows. Sunday nights are only night off so far. We do Saturday mornings instead of night, but we're Monday through Friday, I think, starting this week. We get News Ninja 2012, who is Wayne Dupree and Tammy Jackson from the Hugh Hewitt crew, and then Gay Patriot from on Twitter and all of that. And then otherwise, Politics TV.
You say
yes, Gay Patriot. We have a rather bizarre group of people. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay,
but, hey,
that's
conservatives
fine.
Come in all colors.
Were you talking about log cabin Republicans?
He's associated with Geo Proud.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. He's gay and he's conservative. We'll take him.
That works. Yeah, that was our attitude too. And otherwise, I write for Politichicks TV and conservativedailynews.com, and then I have my own site, goldwatergal.com. So yeah, I'm a little bit busy out there.
You sound
busy,
Liz.
Please definitely get with Teresa B. and give her all those details. And please check our show out because we got some pretty good heavy hitters coming up here. And
okay.
We have in the past. We've had pretty good guests on and just regular people too.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm here up in Pennsylvania. So you ever want to try to get Senator Toomey on for you? Well, give me a ring and or yell at me and I'll see if I can squeeze some time out of them for you.
Teresa will be hitting you up for that.
That's great.
We'll help you guys out however we can, Liz. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
One of our goals is to consolidate all of us grassroots folks that have our own various little things going on, bringing it together and making a one-stop shop for folks on the Internet that are cruising. So we look forward to getting an email from you. Thank you very much for calling us today.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Speaking of
Politichicks.
Speaking of Politichicks, let's bring in our Politichick buddy, from North Carolina, well, actually, from Long Island, by way of North Carolina, our buddy Barbara Buffing. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here.
How are you doing today, my sister? My sister from another mister.
You never know. I think my father got around.
How are you doing today, sweetie?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. Is Al with you today, or is it just you?
He is. He's in the background.
Well, hey, listen, we want to hear from both of y'all. You got the floor. Go for it.
All right. Well, you know, earlier somebody was talking about a third party once again. But how can we go about doing that? I don't know how to do that. I don't know what we as a whole need to do about that. Does anybody else know? I was hoping
third parties have to originate at the state level. And I know, like up here in Alaska, to become a bona fide third party during an election, you're on there as a party, but to become a bona fide party, you have to win, or you have to garner, I think, 3% or better of the vote in that election, even though you lose. And that is the way it is done in Alaska. I don't know how it is done in the other 49 states. You know, that becomes a state issue, and then you have to have after that a certain amount of states all with the same party and affiliations and stuff like that to really hit the national stage.
Okay. And then the other thing too, basically the job of the government is to protect the United States. And it really pisses me off that they want to cut what is so valuable to all of us.
Well, the job of the government, yeah, it makes perfect sense. The job of the government, though, is switched from protecting the United States to protecting their own hides and getting their jobs back. That's the job of the politician right now.
Yeah, and quite frankly, as you all know, it pisses me off. And, just, you know, there's been a lot of talk about doing stuff, and I just really want to jump in and do it now because I'm so aggravated.
Well, Barbara, you are jumping in. In fact, I want to speak to you. I'll PM you in a little while. I want to speak to you about
Somebody's breaking up.
Is that me? Am I breaking up? Can you guys hear me?
I think it was you.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Can you hear me now? No,
yeah.
Barbara.
Do I sound okay? Because my computer's been screwed.
No, actually, you sound fine, Barbara. And you have been doing a lot. In fact, you've been doing so much, and you're such a good friend to Conservative Nation radio shows. I noticed that you're at every single one of our shows throughout the week that I want to talk to you a little bit later on. I'll PM you. But I've got a role in mind for you that I want to speak to you about and bring you into the CNR family. But hang tight. I want to go through and do we're in our closing final 15 minutes here. I want to do our final closing remark parts of the show. So we're going to start with, we've not heard from our brother from another mother yet, Rick, who I want to go ahead and give a couple of minutes to everybody else. You're standing on deck. You'll have 30 seconds to a minute for closing remarks, so think about those. Brother Rick, come on in here. Sorry I've not been able to pull you in yet, my brother. You had
no
a great
problem.
Show yesterday.
Oh, thank you kindly, and I mean, I know that there are sometimes during my shows in which I don't talk a whole lot, but hey, you know, I mean, the show isn't about me. It's about the guests and the listeners.
Oh, absolutely. As is all the shows on CNR.
Exactly. And speaking of which, coming up on December 29th, which is the final Saturday of 2012, I'm going to be doing in like a year in review type, you know, just to let everyone know about that. You know, so I'm going to have a big old panel discussion roundtable type, you know, just to give like the highlights and lowlights of this year.
Sounds
is
good,
before,
my brother.
Is that before or after the Mayan calendar ends and the world is like destroyed?
Yeah, we may be destroyed by then.
Yeah. Right. In that case, Rick, you won't have many listeners, but it'll be fun.
All right, my brother. Well, thanks for doing all that you do for Conservative Nation Radio.
Well, thank you, Michael.
You know, you're my partner. All right, you know that, right?
Oh yeah.
All right, brother. Mm-hmm. Hey, Ron, you're up. What do you got to say for closing remarks, my brother?
Well, I just love the show today. It's been real good and informative. Let's do more like it.
Well, you got your guns handy? We ready to go out and do some liberal hunting?
I'm ready.
Ron's always ready for that.
Yeah. I've offered to come up there and fix your little hunting problem, Bing, but you just don't seem to want me to come up there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you could fly on over with an airplane and see if you can spot them for me.
I'll be the spotter.
If I can see them, I'll shoot.
I'll be the spotter with my old blind ass, scotch drinking, cigar smoking self.
There you go.
Ron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Ron.
Brother Boyd, closing remarks.
Yeah, very good show. I liked it. Keep your powder dry, buddies. Bing, you need to go get your eyes checked, I think. You know.
That's all that damn Jack Daniels he's drinking.
Well, you know, he keeps seeing all these deer without antler. You know, I'm sure he's missing a few antlers out there.
I've been to Lynchburg. It's a pretty town, but you can't buy any frickin' Jack Daniels there.
No, you go through the brewery tour, though. That's an excellent tour over there.
Yeah, what good is the frickin' brewery tour if I can't have a shot of Jack?
Well, you can't drink it there. You can buy it there. You just can't drink it there.
I know. That's crazy shit, brother.
I can't help that. I ain't Mayor of Lynchburg, right?
Hey,
boy.
Yeah, if you're ever in Tennessee, that is a very good tour. And the funny thing is when you get there, they take you out to the Ritz, and they tell you to pick up the charcoal and smell it. So what everybody does is they sniff the charcoal, you know, and they reuse this old charcoal and stuff, so on, for J.D., Jack Daniels whiskey, and what normally and invariably happens is that everybody gets a black nose. So, and it's funny.
Well, I've been to Lynchburg. It's a beautiful, beautiful little town. It's a great tourist spot. It's kind of like San Antonio. You can spend a lot of freaking money there, and you can't taste the Jack Daniels.
No, and if you blink, you'll drive right through it, you know.
I'd say go to Scotland and drink some good single malt. Boyd.
Yes, sir.
Final thoughts, buddy.
Final thoughts. I think CNR is absolutely going in the right direction. And if there's anything I can do to help, let me know. Brother Bing knows how to get in touch with me. I think you do too, Michael.
Absolutely.
Let's just get it on. Let's get this network going.
CNR and Tradam to the next level.
Yeah,
yep.
We could promote from within. That's what we do here, you know. So we got conservativenationradio.org. We got traditionalamericanmovement.com. We got just all sorts of things that are going on, and you'll find them on both sites. And we've got, like I said, we've got some guests coming up that are going to blow the hair off the cats around here. So I'm very happy about that. And yeah, we've got a lot of things that are coming up. We've got Trad Am that's going to do a facelift, and we've got the new website up, and Michael's got some plans, and yeah, we're going in the right direction, I think.
Oh, I'm extremely excited, brothers Bing and Boyd, with the direction we're going. I mean, we've got some merchandising stuff coming up, and it's not to pad my pocket. I guarantee that right now. It's so that we can buy some advertisement on Drudge, Red State, places like that. They get 5 million hits a day. I'm of the opinion that if I can buy advertisement space on, say, Matt Drudge, that gets 5-10 million hits a day, and we just pull in 0.5% of that, we're looking at 100,000 hits a day to BTR, subsequently to Trad-Am. Where my mind is going right now, especially since Teresa's taken, we've got the host we've got the new shows coming that we've got coming. We've got Teresa's our general manager to lead all of us very arrogant people. I've got some other people that I want to ask to step into some roles. It's all volunteer stuff right now, but, you know, we may never make a dime or pat our pockets in any way, but we're going to be the Matt Drudge of Blog Talk Radio.
It's to further the conservative movement against the progressive movement. That's my goal.
Michael.
Yeah, right.
I know it's not to pad your pocket, but in the long run, it will pad everybody's pockets when we get taxes down and we get jobs going and everything else.
Correctamundo.
Absolutely.
The long run vision instead of the short run vision.
That's the way I'm looking at it, long term. You know, people might find it hard to believe. I know that my brothers and sisters that are listening with us today don't. But there's a lot of people out there that might find it hard to believe. Why do you spend the money or do what you do with no ambition of making money? It's not about making money. It's about saving my country. And that's the most important thing to me. Because I've got four children and a granddaughter. And they are the most important things to me in my life. And if they can't have the country that I enjoyed, and I die not having done what I can do, whatever it costs me, then I've not done enough in life.
Well, buddy.
Well, of course.
You could. I hate to say this, partner, but you could die today or tomorrow, and you can go to your grave easy. You have done a lot.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. That means a lot to me. Let's go ahead and bring in our sister from North Carolina. Well, actually from Long Island, by way of North Carolina, for her final remarks, my sister from another Mr. Barbara. Come on in here, buddy. Come on in here. Final remarks. You know that Bing and I love you. We love having you on our show. I love your attitude. You and I are, I mean, we think alike. You know that, right, Barbara?
Yes, I do. And thank you. I love you guys, too. And, Michael, thank you for putting the initiative to go ahead and do all this, because all of us really that's on here, I know there's a good portion of us who all want to jump in and help because we all want the same goal. We all want our country back. We all want less government. We want less taxes. We want our country back, period. You know, and taking the initiative and just rolling with it, because we're not going to put up with all the propaganda that the stupid Main Street media is putting out. We've got to get those people that think that we're crazy on the track of what is right and what is wrong. You know, when we give, I don't, when I have money to donate, I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to and I can. And I help my neighbors. I still have boxes of stuff that I'm bringing up to New York when I go in a couple of weeks. And that's something that I can do. There's not much money that I have that I can donate, but I could donate more time. And I could do little things that I guess do add up to a whole lot. But that's what it's all about. It's about we the people, not me and my damn ego, because I really don't have much of one.
No, you've got a great ego, my sister.
it's
just like mine.
Yeah, your head is screwed on tight. Okay? Not unlike some of us.
Well,
but
you only guys only know me from here, so. But
well,
thanks.
that's fine.
And that's why we love you, Barbara. Your being is absolutely right. Your head is screwed on exactly the way it needs to be screwed on.
Thanks, I think.
Now that is a compliment. Well, my sister, I'll be sending you a private message here in a little bit. I have something I want to ask you to jump into CNR and join our family with. We are at the end of our show, Brother Bing. I'd like to give you a few minutes here before we end our show.
Yeah, man, I really wanted to get in with to get into the Bill Kristol from the Heritage Foundation meltdown over there, but I guess we'll have to save that maybe, or maybe I'll just do a rant on it and do it offline. But yeah, we got stuff coming. We got videos coming up. We've got all sorts of stuff coming up, man. We got facelifts coming up. We got new guests. We've got some old guests, and after the first of the year, hopefully, if everything goes all right, we're gonna have one big blowout party, man.
Absolutely.
One big blowout party. So come visit us over at traditionalamericanmovement.com. Register over there. I'll get you approved. You get in chat. And then also over at conservativenationradio.org, check that website out. You can find us on Facebook and on Twitter. You'll find us. There's ways of finding us, okay?
Absolutely,
Michael,
brother.
Great show, and Zach calling in, that made it. I mean, it was just a great show, man. Everybody on the show, that's the whole thing of this. This is everybody putting in for the collective common good of saving this country, of getting our country back to conservative principles. Not moderation, not trying to make deals with people just to save your own skin. And, brother, whatever it takes to make it happen, that's what we're going to do.
Absolutely. I mean, let me just reiterate. Uncle Bing is absolutely right. Bing and I moderate this show, but this show is about everybody that joins us every Sunday. Barbara, Kurt, Boyd, Ron, Chuck, our general manager, Teresa, Melissa Bonahan. They're just Rick Bulo. There's just so many people. I can't even name you all, so if I didn't say your name, I'm sorry. I love you all. Thank you. You've helped us all to make this a great show. I just want to end this with a quote from George Mason, just kind of to tie a pretty bow around my editorial. I ask, sir, what is a militia? It's the people. It's the whole people. To disarm the people is the best and most efficient way to enslave them. With that, my friends, I love you all. Thank you all for joining Bing and I today. And remember, there is no turning back.
And the road is dark. keep us sane.